You may know that the Vikings beat Columbus to America, but did you know Columbus wasn't the second, but the third European to reach North America? You may have heard the 13th Amendment ended slavery, but did you know it is still legal and practiced in the United States? You may have a favorite dinosaur, but did you know none of these are dinosaurs? Learn the truth behind these and much more in my new book, Facts That Aren't True. Link in the description.
Saying you had to be born before you could be alive, right? It's like something had to come from something.
Sure. So what has to come? What is the thing that has to come from, and what did it come from?
Okay, so if we exist in an image, right, then everything came from light, right? Light makes the image, the eternal light. It gives the plants the light to give us oxygen to survive. That runs our cars, that the internet, like our phones.
Normally, when I say somebody's trying to sound photosynthesis, it's a joke. But this is a weird case where they're actually trying to sound photosynthesis by sounding photosynthesis. I've never seen that before. That's actually fascinating. Are you just in roundabout sort of ways trying to tell me that the universe has a creator because it has to have a creator because the universe exists?
Right, if it's already been created for you to experience, then it had to have been created prior to you being here, right? So it had to
be. The universe is created?
Well, yes. Everything of material has been formed, right? The hairs on your head, your teeth. What do you mean, when?
Yeah, when was the universe created? Nobody told me that.
You don't believe in the Big Bang either?
I do. The Big Bang didn't create anything.
It didn't. Because we all have the atoms that came out of that.
Do you know that matter and energy cannot be created or destroyed?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
We okay, came so from it's not created.
Okay, so the only thing that existed before the matter formed our bodies was it electrical energy, right? That some people call spirit, like an invisible source.
I don't know anybody that calls it that. So the idea that the universe has always existed doesn't mean it goes on for an infinite amount of time backwards. It just means that it never didn't exist. Now, there wouldn't have been matter in the form that we see it today, but there could have been energy, which could have been reducible maybe to nothing other than a quantum field, for example, and that can be eternal.
You're saying the quantified field could be eternal,
even
yes, though it hasn't materialized yet?
A quantum field isn't really, well, I don't know what you mean by materialized, it just exists.
Not really sure where to go with that.
I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how to do the math. And even if I did, I don't know if that would be helpful at all. But this is something that physicists work on and can, you know, describe and understand to a certain extent. But the biggest thing is there's really no logical problem with it. Meaning there's no logical necessity to invoke an outside creation of the universe.
So you think that the creation was created from internally?
I don't think it was created.
Then how are you experiencing it?
Because I exist.
By existing, you are following the rules of creation, not creating.
What are the rules of creation?
Creation means it's already been finished. Creating means you are creating it, making it, producing it at the moment you are experiencing it.
I have no idea what you're trying to say. So the matter and energy in the universe is conserved, and that matter and energy can transform and take into, it can transform into new forms. So things can happen in the universe. Right.
So technically, like, when you leave your body, you could be me next, right? And I could be you talking to me.
No, I don't believe in reincarnation.
Well, that technically goes against what you just said, like a contradiction.
It's absolutely in no sense is it a contradiction. You can buy, you could, like, I could take, I don't know, I could take random groceries out of my fridge and then put them into a bin with a bunch of sterile dirt. And then if I let that sit there for a long time, it eventually could turn into topsoil. And then that topsoil could be used to grow and fertilize plants. And so the material that is in the soil, literally some of it becomes part of the living tissue of that new plant, right? No reincarnation has happened. We haven't made anything new. All that's happened is the plant has sucked carbon dioxide that's already in the atmosphere up and combined it with other things like water and borrowed energy from sunlight and micronutrients in the soil, and the plant grew. Nothing was created in the sense that something that didn't used to exist now exists, except in terms of like these conventions with which we label things. It's literally just a recycling of matter and energy, transforming it into new things.
So a recycling of energy.
Matter and energy, yep.
But you don't believe in reincarnation, which is a recycling of energy.
I find that to be a very it's hard to think of how to put this, because I was going to say a very unserious framing of reincarnation, but I regard reincarnation to be an absolutely goofy thing to begin with. So how do you straw man an idea that is stupid to begin with? I'm not really sure. But right. No, reincarnation is the idea that a person, like literally, like their conscious experience or memory or something, gets re-uploaded into a new organism. I don't believe in that, and nothing about the way we understand matter and energy cycling in the universe supports an idea like that.
Well, that's just the thing. If we all came from one source, right, that already created all things all at the same time, then there's only this to experience from both perspectives.
What created everything at the same time?
Light.
What does that mean?
Right. If you say that Big Bang is true, what is the Big Bang? It's a big light, right?
No.
And sound follows light, right? So
no.
So sound and material followed the light.
What is this where there's lightning, there's thunder at argument? I don't know what to even say. So the light from the Big Bang created everything at the same time.
Right, but it was like a little tiny ball with everything already in it, like
no.
You said, right? Like a pea-sized full mass.
I never said that.
Well, that's what the scientists say.
No, they don't.
Everything came from something the size of a pea.
No, they don't.
Have you never Googled the Big Bang?
Yes, I have. I've read books about it. I've Googled it. I've talked to people that study this kind of thing, and they don't say that.
That's literally like the whole point of it, that everything came from something the size of a pea and formed all of us out of the mass that was in that pea.
That is absolutely fantastic. So what is a source that you would regard as being a good source to look up for this information?
I would say just Google and listen to the masses, right? Because Google is the ultimate
devil. What should I Google?
Let's see. Are you on there right now?
Yep.
Okay. Just Google Big Bang coming from pea-sized matter. See what it says.
Well, the AI response is saying the idea that the Big Bang originated from something pea-sized is a simplified and often misinterpreted representation of the Big Bang theory. While the universe did originate from a tiny, incredibly dense point, the pea size is not a literal depiction of the initial volume, but rather a way to illustrate the immense expansion of the universe from a tiny starting point. From an actual source, Center for Astrophysics, Harvard and Smithsonian. In fact, all the matter in the universe could have arisen from a bit of primordial energy weighing no more than a pea. What the hell does that mean?
It's crazy, right?
Oh, this is a... Wow, this website looks like an eighth grader made it. Ugh. Is this just really old? Copyright 2004? Yeah.
You realize that 18-year-olds programmed the AI, right?
18-year-olds aren't supposed to be in eighth grade. Although, you know, we all have different experiences, I guess. So, the universe is, for all we can tell, infinite. So, to say that the universe used to be this big or make any sense. Sometimes what physicists do is they describe a particular area of space expanding by a certain amount. But they're not saying the universe used to be this big. They're saying a section of space that was that big expanded by this amount in this amount of time. And this is usually invoked when talking about inflation. So people, it's unfortunate that they say it this way, but they'll say the universe went from the size of an atom to the size of a softball in a trillionth of a trillionth of a trillionth, whatever, of a second. And that's not accurate. An area of space that big expanded by that much. And maybe they mean observable universe, because people say universe and observable universe interchangeably. But anyways, the universe was never the size of a pea.
Right. So
the observable universe, perhaps. But the universe, no, it doesn't work that way.
So with everything that we have as far as like telescopes and whatnot, we can see so far and then we can't see anymore, right?
That is how it be. Yep.
That's our observable universe, right? That we don't know what's beyond what we can't see. So to say that it's infinite means that it would just keep going, but we don't know that because we've never been able to see that. So you have to say that the hairs on your head, I can see them. They are finite because there's only a certain number of them, right?
And you don't think the earth, you don't think the earth is flat, do you?
I don't think the earth is flat. I think it's more of a snow globe. I don't think we're on a ball spinning because water is level all the way around. That doesn't make sense. If you pour water on a basketball, where does it go? To the bottom, right?
Do tides happen?
Tides?
Yep.
Yeah, I believe that the...
So water is literally never level then?
Well, there is a level all the way around the earth.
There is a median sea level, but water is literally never level.
I fail to understand.
Do tides exist?
Tides, yes.
Do high tides and low tides happen at the same time?
Right.
If one point is higher than the other, can it be level?
If there is a crest in the water, you're saying that it cannot be level because it's in motion?
Let's rewind. Do high tides and low tides happen at the same time?
On different parts of the earth.
Can a high... So if there is a high spot and a low spot, it cannot be level.
Well, what do they say causes the tides?
What do you say causes the tides?
I'm just going to repeat what scientists say, because that's what we have to go off
of. So you believe in gravity. You know that gravity cannot allow an object the size of the earth to be flat. It necessarily collapses it into a spherical shape.
Here's a weird one for you. Think about it.
We're actually not going to do whatever you were going to do there. Do you understand that gravity cannot allow for an object the size of the earth to be flat?
I don't comprehend your statement. I've never heard it was flat.
Can you make can you make a flat bubble?
I mean, yeah, on a table. It's more like a snow globe, like I said.
Okay. I understand that if the bubble is touching a table, the part of it touching the table will flatten out. The bubble can't really do anything about that. The rest of it creates, you cannot create a bubble that is flat, though. Do you understand that?
Right, and if you pop the bubble, where does the air go? To the low pressure, right?
That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. The reason that a bubble, you cannot make a flat bubble, is because it's not really because of gravity, because it would work if you have no acceleration of gravity. Like, it would work on a space station or whatever, too. And the object doesn't have enough mass for this. But it's about, I don't know for bubbles if it's about surface tension or exactly what it is. For a water droplet, that's a huge part of it. But every object in the universe is trying to not conserve energy, but be in the lowest energy state possible. And a sphere contains the greatest volume in the smallest possible surface area. That's why bubbles are always spherical like that. You can't have a flat bubble. You can't make a flat bubble.
Have you ever seen the video of the guy that blows the bubbles inside the bubbles and he changes the shape of the bubble?
Again, that's still, you can create the weird square bubbles, but this has been math. This can be demonstrated mathematically that is still conserving the lowest amount of energy. You can make those really giant loopy bubble wands, and you can twist them so that they're not, you know, flat, they're bent. And there's actually a mathematical description you can make for why the surface for the bubble sheen in that case takes on the shape that it does. I think Action Lab, or maybe it's Steve Mould, one of those two guys on YouTube, has really great content about creating bubbles inside of bubbles, and it makes what almost looks like a tesseract sort of thing. It still is conserving the least amount of energy. It makes the smallest surface area possible. Anyways, so you said that your explanation for tides is going to be whatever the explanation that science traditionally says. So you're going to invoke a gravitational influence for that. So what you accept makes it not possible for the Earth to be flat. An object that big cannot be flat. Gravity will always crush it into a ball. The minimum size for an object, where its mass always makes it go to a sphere is only a few hundred miles wide. If I remember correctly, it's really not that big. So, anyways,
are you saying that the gravity is what causes everything to appear to be circular?
Spherical, yes.
Or is it the density of the high and low pressures causing it to conform?
So if you have, so the moon, there's no such thing as the density of the materials conforming the moon to be a sphere with high and low pressure. That makes literally zero sense.
So space being a vacuum is bunk to you?
I didn't say, so we're not invoking anything about space or pressure. When we describe that an object's mass and the gravitational influence of it will deform it and force it to conform to a spherical shape. So there's nothing about pressure, high, low pressure, anything with a solid object being forced by gravity to conform to a sphere. Do you understand that?
Yeah, kind of see both ways on it. It's like when you say that the moon could cause the tides, but also like when the astronauts are jumping around on the moon and they're just floating around, right? It doesn't make sense. It's either really strong, it could pull the water on the Earth up, but not hold the astronauts down. Or there's another force.
What happens when the astronauts jump? What happens?
When the astronauts jump on the CGI videos?
Yeah, what happens?
They go up about 3 feet and they float down like a feather.
Not 3 feet. But so they go up, and then what happens after they go up?
They come back down.
So apparently gravity is strong enough to hold those astronauts.
Right, but it's also yep. not, like it's also way stronger being thousands and thousands of miles away to be able to pull our water up.
What's the problem with that?
So how come it's like not so much gravity to them, but it's a lot of gravity to us here?
It's actually less gravity for us here because we're farther away than they are. Tides are caught. You're imagining that what the moon is doing is pulling on, like lifting the entire mass of the ocean, but that's not what it does. And so then if it can lift the oceans, which weigh, who the hell knows, billions, trillions of tons, then if you were to stand on the moon, you would be crushed because you weigh less than that, and the moon can pull so hard. But that's not how gravity acts on an ocean. The surface waters are actually pulled. There's a significant, well, it's actually pretty subtle, but the pull that the moon has on the oceans is really microscopic, but the oceans are really huge. What happens is because the moon's over here and the surface of the oceans is spread over a large area, on the outer edges, the direction, the vector, or whatever we want to call it, for that surface water to the moon is bent inward. So you get this kind of squeezing effect. And because the oceans are hundreds of thousands or millions, whatever they are, of square miles, that accumulated effect is what causes the tides. But most tides are actually pretty subtle.
So it has nothing to do with the rotation of the Earth. It's all the moon.
That tides occur, yeah, has nothing to do with the rotation of the Earth. The patterns of tides has quite a lot to do, almost everything to do with the rotation of the Earth, because the moon moves, by comparison, 30 times slower. But yeah.
Have you ever seen the three stars that are above the pyramids?
I've never been to the pyramids, but I've seen pictures.
Right. So how could you explain over 4,500 years ago that those three stars remain in the same exact spot?
What does that even mean, that they remain in the same spot?
If we're flying through space at over a million miles an hour, right, for 4,500 years, how do the stars always...
Fucking Christ. Are the stars moving?
Are we moving, or are the stars moving?
We're already agreeing. We're starting with the position that we are moving. So then the question is, are the stars moving?
I would say everything is in motion.
Okay. And we're in rotation around the galaxy, right?
Right.
Okay. So let me ask you a slightly different question. Let's say you're in a car and the car is going 50 miles per hour, right?
Right.
So if you're in that car going 50 miles per hour and the car drives for 5 hours, how could you possibly be able to see your sister in the back seat? Because you're going 50 miles per hour and you've been traveling for 5 hours.
Well, my sister remains in one spot, as that's how it would happen. If she was moving and she wasn't in the back seat at the whole time, like if she
was... No, she is in the back seat. So how are you able to see her?
Well, some of these stars are in different solar
systems. The question is, how are you able to see your sister in the back seat of the car if you've been traveling in the car for 5 hours at 50 miles per hour?
Well, she would be traveling around a different circular system.
Is your sister in the car with you?
She's not even there.
Okay. Goodbye, Will.
I'm just seeing light that never existed, right?